The title tonight is that there's power in praise. The problem with that is that when we're struggling, it's the last thing that we're going to do. When I'm faced with all these struggles and I'm in that mentality and I'm angry or I'm sad or I'm frustrated or I don't feel like I want to praise, right? I feel like I'm angry. I feel like I want an answer, right? I feel like, you know, but that's just the whole thing is I've been feeling for 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, but now I'm trying to learn what spirituality brings to my life. And it's very contrary. It's very contrary. And we're going to talk about the power of praise. And we're going to come back to how that relates to our struggles here in a minute. Praise in of itself is the expression of approval or admiration, of gratitude and devotion for a blessing received. So given, like to a man, it can easily corrupt us or it can build us up. It can create flattery or the love of it. It could create conscience issues, self-esteem issues, and it can't be sought or longed for. But it also can be a very beneficial tool. Like our children, for instance, they hunger for our praise and approval. And we want to share that praise and approval to them to encourage them to continue to struggle and strive and move forward through the challenges that they're facing, right? Much like when we receive, you know, job well done, good job, I can't believe you were there for me, I'm so happy, you know, whatever it is. When we receive that praise, then it can build us up because many of us are so dogged down by everything we've been through, maybe choices that we made ourselves, but we can be praised. But see, if we continue to get praised, we let that go to heart, it can make us haughty. Where, like, a really good example for that is I've met a lot of doctors in my lifetime. I've met some humble doctors that were awesome, but I've also met a lot of doctors that walked on water, right? But it's that constant praise. You saved my wife. You saved my son. You saved my... And it went to their head and they became God and they served themselves. So it becomes misconstrued because anytime you see sin in our lives and we try to isolate it or label it, and especially in struggle, and we look at it from an outsider's perspective and it's so easy to become misguided for what it truly is. See, God gave me an ability to be a surgeon, to heal you, to save your people or whatever it may be that you came in here, but then I'm to give the glory to God for the gifts that He's given to me. So therefore, I can remain humble as a surgeon and still receive the benefits of being a surgeon. Amen, right? Right? Or I can let it go to my head and become the man and become haughty. But this happens on all different types of levels. It happens on our levels, right? Even back in the day, I mean, I don't know how many of the men in this room struggle with pride. I bet you some of the women in this room struggle with pride. You know, but pride is a huge downfall for us. It misconstrues. The devil will take something beautiful. He's not going to get me with something that I can see coming, right? It's not going to be obvious. It's going to be something beautiful. It's going to be something I'm going to buy into. It's going to be something that I don't quite understand, and then I'm going to latch onto that, and then he's got me. I'm confused. Because if it doesn't line up with the word, then it shouldn't line up with me. And that's one way that praise gets distributed, where if the proper amount of praise came through and you praised me for something that I've done, then I'd be like, well, all glory go to God. Amen? Because all things that are good come from God. And if I have anything good in me, I know that that's from God, and I'm thankful for that. Amen? I'm not saying that I can't exercise it, use it, because He wants me to. But at the end of the day, the only reason why I'm your friend, the only reason why I'm your consultant, the only reason why I share love that's within me is because God put it there. Amen? Because I can go back to the time of my life when it wasn't there, and I know. Amen? I try to say, I'm a good person and all that. We talked about that before. But Proverbs 27:1 says, the crucible is for silver and the furnace for gold, and each is tested by the praise accorded to him. And what my question there is, how did we handle it? Amen? The right way to handle that is to give it to God. Because we're going to make achievements, we're going to feel, I mean, it's a positive thing to set a goal and achieve that goal. But complacency is also a sin. So if I set a goal and I achieve my goal and I stop there, I'm already going backwards again. It's an ever-progressive thing. I have to constantly be on the move to move forward. Otherwise, I'm going to move back. If you picture the tide, if I'm rowing against the tide and I'm making progress and I'm coming along and it's all good, but I quit rowing, even though I made it so far, even though everything's so far behind me, but that tide comes in, it just pulls me back, right? And I think to myself, how did I get here? I made so much progress. I did so many things. I made it so far, and then here I am again. And that's that whole thing where mindset is the key, and there's power in praise. And when we talk about the struggles that we're in today, that's when we need to grab a hold of our faith and praise God for that, right? I just came to a realization in the middle of prison thinking to myself, praise God for this, right? Most uncanny thing you could think of. Why would he be thankful for being knee deep in the middle of prison, in the middle of nowhere with nothing, you know? Right? But praise God for that. And I still praise God for that. I'm going to tell you why. Because that transitional period permanently affected my entire family. Kind of one thing you were talking about earlier, Peggy, about gaining the approval. I'll tell you right now, let God handle that. Amen. Right now, we just focus on our relationship with Him, and He'll bring us there. He'll get us there. There was a long period of my life where people didn't quite trust me, where the things that I'd done weren't quite there, that they would hear something, they'd shoot me down right away because they know that I'm a time bomb. You could only run 6 months, 8 months, 2 years. It's going to hit the fan sooner or later. But when they come to find out that with Christ in my life, I didn't hit the wall, I struggled, I was angry, but I got on my knees and prayed and reset and didn't have to self-destruct and then figured out a way to start to function in this world because of my faith. All of a sudden, they conceded, right? This is reality. Now I gained the approval of those, but now what's the right thing to do? Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for restoring my relationship with my family. Thank you, God, for restoring my relationship with my children. Thank you, God, for giving me a place to be, right? I didn't do any of that because back in the day, it was all me. I did this. Look around. This is mine. I put this here, right? And it would last sometimes 6 months, sometimes 6 years. But pretty soon, the wind would come, right? Right? Praise given and directed to God, acknowledging Him of His perfections and works and benefits, is an act of devotion by which we confess and admire His attributes. So when I'm specifically just being thankful for God, say every night we pray. I tell you, Caleb's turn, then it's my turn, then it's Caleb's turn, then it's my turn. And every night one of us says, oh God, we just thank you for another day. I'm just so, every single night is the first thing we always say, just thank you for another day. But I think about that, and it's just so true. Because I watch around me, and I can't even tell you how many of my peers have fallen off permanently at this point. I don't even know how many of us that there's left at this point. And I'm what they consider to be middle-aged, right? I'm right in the middle. More than half of my friends are gone. You know, some of them are lucky enough to be spending the rest of their life in prison. Some of them didn't get an opportunity to find faith, and they're gone. And I think about that. But, you know, giving the right praise to God and praising in tough situations spins things around. David said, because of your loving kindness that is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul is satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth offers praises with joyful lips. So the power in the prayer and in the praise belongs to God. But God has the ability to perform and the sense of the ability. So the ability is the strength. In Psalm 22, he says, deliver my soul from the sword, my only life from the power of the dog. He says also in the right, in the privilege, the Greek word here is dunamis. And it's a dignity. In 1 John 1:12, it says, but as many of you as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believed in his name. Also, an absolute authority. But before we go to that, I want to talk about dunamis, the right and the privilege. The right and the privilege. See, that's just the whole thing. Is we don't walk around when we're defeated and we're facing struggles. It has its own veil over our mindset, and we don't think about the fact that we are chosen and forgiven and sanctified by God. And through God, we have the very right and privilege to receive Him. And God has no stumbling blocks. Amen? He doesn't. He's the ultimate creator of the universe. He has the power to make changes where we don't have changes. But also, we have to understand our circumstances. Is this a spiritual want in my life? Is this struggle that I'm going through something that I created? Or is this something that's he said the crucible is for the furnace the crucible is for silver and the furnace is for gold. What he's talking about is sanctification. And any point in time you devote yourself to the world creates its agenda on us. But the problem with that is God is contrary to the world. So as I move closer to God, I have to become sanctified. I have to be cleansed. I have to get this world off of me. So my first thought isn't a negative thought. My first reaction isn't a negative reaction, because I don't want to drag that with me. I'm moving towards the spiritual thinking. And there's a huge contrast between the two differences. So sometimes when I'm going through something, it's necessary for me to succeed. Amen? Right? And I'll give you a point. Maybe, now this is hypothetical, but maybe if I hadn't gone to prison, I wouldn't be alive today. So would you argue then that prison was a great thing for me? That God was able to use my bad decisions to put me in a new place in life? To sit me down long enough only to read His Word? Because I have been in prison before. There's nothing about prison that scares or shakes me, because I've been there. I do that. I know how to do that. That's been from where I came from. Right? There's nothing different about that. What was different about that is I had a hunger within me that I didn't have before, that was reaching out to God, who came into my life and began to change the way that I viewed the world. He began to change the way that I viewed myself, so that I didn't have to feel sorry for myself anymore. Amen? Right? I could start looking at God and saying, okay, God, here I am. What are you going to do with me? Well, what do I deserve? I don't deserve it. What are you going to do with me? What am I worth, right? But unbelievably, over the course of how many different years take place, God puts action in my life and makes a negative a positive. But that was a struggle, believe it or not. I mean, how many of you guys sat back and watched your babies grow up without you? That creates a hunger inside of you to realize what we're really gambling with. And I think that this last time really had a tough enough hold on me to where I had to figure out, is my way really working? Do I really got it figured out? Because I always had it figured out. Amen. I always had it figured out. But it just didn't work. It was just this. It was just that. It was just him. It was just them. It was never me. I couldn't sit back and accept the responsibility that I could have been proactive and done the right thing and got out of all that. I just kept on shaking the dice. I kind of like that. My flesh likes to ride high and crash low. I know that about me. I do. There's only one cure. It's Christ. Amen. So the power belongs to God. We're going to talk more about that. The exertion or the act of power is the Holy Ghost. That's Kratos, which we talked a lot about. Parakletos, which is the one called alongside to help. It's the Holy Spirit in us. But see, we have Christ in my life. So if I'm struggling today, I can reach into me and say, Christ, I need you now. I need you over my thoughts. I need you over my hands. I need you over my decisions. I need you before me so that I don't make this fleshly decision. Because I know what decision that is every time. Amen? I want him to have that authority. I got a text message in Ephesians for you. A text message. I don't know why. Stuck in my head. It's always a text message now. But Ephesians 18. Check this out. Paul is phenomenal. You get free time. Read from Paul in the Bible. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what the hope of his calling is, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power to those who believe. Those, in accordance with the working of his strength and his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead, seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule, all authority, with full power and dominion, that every name is named, not only in this age, but in the one to come, that he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave them as head of things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Now, I'm going to break this down. This is one of the most powerful verses that you can just sit on and think about it for a minute. First and foremost, he says, I pray that your eyes become enlightened, that you realize the hope of the calling of the saints that are in Christ Jesus. There is power in God. There is power in your faith. And the thing is if I'm not willing to realize that today, if the world's in front of me, I got my eyes on the world and not my eyes on Christ. I got my eyes on TV, got my eyes on the cell phone, I got my eyes on my job, I got my eyes on, and I'm blocking Christ out of my life, then where am I going? But he said, I pray that your eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know the hope of the calling of the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints, the surpassing greatness of power towards those who believe. And this is the very thing. I may not succeed through the struggle that I'm facing right now. In my own mind, I may lose. But Christ has the power to push me through it. Win or lose. Right? Amen? Succeed or fail. I'm going somewhere. And as long as I'm... That's right. But I'm saying that no matter what happens, if I'm in Christ, I'm going the right direction. The problem is, if I'm in my worldly mind, I think that this is where I want to go. But God's got it laid out up here for me. Amen? In my worldly mind, this is absolutely what I got to have, but Christ has got me up here. So I might be in these situations where I'm not quite sure about what I'm going through. As long as I'm focused on God, He's got the power to lead me through that. And the riches of His power is powerful enough to raise Him from the dead and reclaim the power and authority and dominion over the land. And He is the one that is within me. Kratos, the Spirit of Christ. So if the very Spirit who has the authority and the power to raise the dead is within me, why am I complaining today? Amen? What's before me that God cannot defeat? Nothing. Amen? There is nothing that could come before me, whether I win, lose, happy, sad, fail, succeed, whatever it may be. If I'm in Christ, I'm in the right place. Amen? It can't stop me. Nothing can. And there's power in this. We got to think about that. He says, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? The surpassing greatness of His power towards us who believe. It's the Lord of hosts, Kratos, the Holy Spirit in action, the executioner, the very Spirit that created the world. When God spoke and said, let there be light, the Spirit created the light. But I walk along every day in defeat. I worry about how many hours I gotta work. I worry about how much money I gotta have. Amen. When the Holy Spirit that created the world is my partner, is my Savior, is my... Amen? How does that make sense? What a different mentality that is when I think about my struggles. In Job, now I want to focus real quick before we do that. The power of praise is the act of devotion in any or all circumstances, releasing the action to the Holy Spirit. So what I'm going to do is in my struggle today, I'm going to praise God. Because I'm going to praise God for my struggle and I'm going to enact that power to God about my circumstances. Here we are, Father God. We lift up Mick to you, before you in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ because I don't have the authority to go into the room of God. But through Jesus Christ, I can. And I can get on my knees in the holy room and pray directly to God through Jesus Christ and lift up my issues, my anger issues, my frustration issues, my resentment issues, my drug issues, my past failures. What do you want to put on the table? I'm real. God loves me for just who I am. He knows what I am. I'm not hiding anything from God. So why not put it in front of Him? Why not hand it to Him in the name of Jesus Christ and say, God, I may not be where I need to be today, but I know that You can get me where I need to go. Amen? So Job, he says, shall we indeed accept the good things from God, but not accept adversity? 120, after all, Job fell to the ground in worship. And after everything that happened to him and everything that occurred to him, and everybody's prodding and everybody's picking on him, and he turns to him, and he could have just shot off at the mouth and said something crazy and got mad at God like the rest of us do. But he said, isn't the creator of the good things that provides the good things to us have the right to take them away? And Nehemiah, he says, don't be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So if I'm struggling today and I don't keep that joy of the Lord in me, then I don't have my strength. In Romans 12:21, he says, don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And this is crazy, because I know that when I find myself in circumstances that I'm frustrated, the last thing I want to do is praise God. Because I'm mad, right? Yes or no? You don't think about praising God. But I'll tell you right now, if you make a rule that you tell yourself right now, the next time I'm challenged, the next struggle that comes my way, the next thing that sets me back, the next time they think they're going to put me off and throw me off and knock me off my game, I'm going to praise God. I'm going to praise God, and I'm going to show them that they can't beat me. Because my faith is too strong. They can't take me down. 2 Chronicles, I got one for you. So here it is. Everybody is here. They're going into battle. The people are scared. We got 2 Chronicles 20:14. Check this out. Then the midst of the assembly of the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehazel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, son of Jeel, son of Mattaniah, the Levite, the son of Asaph, and said, listen, all of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord, do not fear or be dismayed over this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but mine. Tomorrow, go down against them, and they will come up to you, and you will find them at the end of the valley, and you need not fight this battle for yourselves. Stand there in the salvation of the Lord. O Judah, do not fear or be dismayed, for tomorrow when you face them, the Lord will be with you. Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all of Judah, the inhabitants of them, fell down and worshipped the Lord. The Levites, the sons from the Kohathites, the sons of the Korahites, stood up to praise God of Israel with a very loud voice. So then they rose in the early morning and went out into the wilderness. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Put your trust in your God, and you will be established. Put your trust in His prophets, and you will succeed. And when he consulted with the people, appointed those, and sang to the Lord, and praised Him in holy attire, they went out down, and they gave thanks to the Lord, for the loving kindness is everlasting. And when they began singing, when they began praising, the Lord set ambushes against Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, and when they came against them, they were routed. For the sons of Ammon and Moab rose up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, destroying themselves completely. And I won't go too much farther than that, but what I'm telling you is, there was four teams there to destroy them, and what God said is, don't you worry about this, praise me. And they woke up that morning walking into sheer death, and they praised God and sang songs to God, and when they got there, their enemy was destroyed. But the mindset of the people was, put your trust in the Lord your God, and your plans will be established. How many of us today are ready to establish our plans? How many of us today are ready to go through those dark corners without being afraid, to get there, to succeed, to go where we need to go? We need to put our trust in the Lord. Amen? He said, put your trust in the Lord and your plans will be established. Well, if we look at my track record, and I hate to use myself as an example all the time, I usually like to keep somebody like right here to pick on. But since it's only me, I can tell you that as I continue to put my trust in myself, I went up the hill and down the hill and up the hill and down the hill and up the hill and down the hill. But since I've found myself not struggling, you know, definitely still struggling, but putting my trust in the Lord, I've found things to become established. Can anybody else attest to this? Amen? Right? You know what I mean? The more you put your trust in the Lord, the more you become established. The problem is, I was always relying on my own experience, my own things that I've been through, my own decisions, my go-to. My decision was experience, not faith. So if I'm making my decisions from experience and not my faith, then I'm still relying on myself. Amen?
Amen.
He said, put your trust in God and your plans will be established. So the whole army was defeated by praise. Praise is power. Do you see how that makes sense? It doesn't make sense to us physically. Like if Joel attacks me right now, I'd have praise God, he might get a few shots in while I'm praising. And it doesn't make sense. But in reality, this is a spiritual battle. It cannot be fought physically. It cannot be outwitted mentally. It's spiritual. So if I don't face this battle, this struggle, this challenge spiritually, then I'm already set to lose. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. The Lord judged his people, and it is a terrifying thing to fall in the hands of the living God. Proverbs 20 says, I do not say that I will repay evil for evil, but wait for the Lord, and he will save you. I like this, Psalm 138. Though I walked in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch forth your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will accomplish what's concerned me. Your loving kindness, O Lord, is everlasting. Do not forsake the work of your hands. There's power in praise. Hebrew 13 says, through him, then, let us continually offer up the sacrifice of praise. That is, the fruit of the lips that give thanks to his name, and do not neglect in doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. And this just reiterates everything that we're talking about. He's talking about the sacrifice of praise to God. It's a sacrifice. Now that's funny. In the Old Testament, it was a much different sacrifice. But in today's day and age, I'm simply saying that I'm not the one that needs to be cherished. God is. Amen? God is the one to be cherished for the food. God is the one to be cherished for the clothes, for the job, for the homes, for the children, for the people, for the church, for the leaders. Amen? It's God that gets the glory. And that's a sacrifice of praise given him, you know, in everything, prayer and supplication. It's to be anxious for nothing. Did somebody say this today? Elvis, your verse is in here. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And I love this because this is the Christian paradox. This is the thing that we're doing that doesn't make sense. This is the very issue that we're looking at. I'm anxious. I'm frustrated. I'm scared. I don't know what's in front of me. I don't know what I'm going to do. But he said, don't be anxious, but in everything, prayer, one. Two, supplication. This is what I need. Three, thanksgiving. Thank you, God, for everything you've already provided me. Let my request be known to God, and the peace of God. Having done these three steps, the peace of God will guard not only my heart, but my mind in Christ Jesus. So it's my heart that leads me astray. It's my mind that won't leave me alone. But if I'm thankful, amen. If I'm praising, amen. If I'm praying, amen. There's my peace. And I live these days and I say, oh God, why aren't I peaceful? Why don't I have that contentment that I want to have? How come I can't fill this void? Because I search for these things to stuff down in there. We talk about that a lot. But God said, in everything, prayer, supplication, thanksgiving. And with that glory of praise to God creates the peace within me that gives me the ability to maintain and not set off this time. Amen? Maybe I don't have to react this time. Maybe I can be patient even though I don't see the answer. Maybe I can wait this out and increase my integrity and trust in God and knowing that He's got me even though I can't see it yet. Amen? Proverbs, Thessalonians, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Proverbs, there is no wisdom and no understanding and no counsel against the Lord. The horse is prepared for a day of battle, but victory belongs to God. There's power in praise. Today, now, tomorrow, temptations, battles, struggles. What we do is we praise God. And the will for me is to praise Him always, to unlock that power and that Spirit to work in our lives. There's a transformation of provision in praise. Because what happens is how many of us say in church, they say, blessing or praise goes up? Only one, Tracy? What about everybody? What happens when praises go up? Blessings come down. Amen. Who wants to be blessed today? Right? I want to be blessed. So believe me, I'm going to praise. Amen. So blessings or praises go up? Oh, there you are. There you are. I might have woke two of you up. But I'm going to tell you. Amen. Blessings come down. Praises go up. Blessings come down. It unlocks that spirit. There's transformation in provision. And I need something. I know that I need something. I need intervention. And I need Christ's intervention. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to let Him know that. And I'm going to let Him know I'm thankful for it. And I'm going to let Him intervene in this struggle that I'm in. All these specific struggles that we discussed today, we're going to praise God for that. Amen?
Amen.
All right. 2 Chronicles 20. This is it. Do not fear or be dismayed of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but the Lord's. 1 Samuel 17, it says, and this assembly will know that the Lord does not deliver by the sword or the spear, for the battle is the Lord, and He will give your enemy into your hands. Mark 2 says, and Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, son, you are forgiven, and healed him. He fought his battle. He restored him because he saw his faith. So today, my encouragement to us is to lead by that power of praise. Let's wake up in the morning. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to eat lunch. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to clock out. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to get in my car. I'm going to praise God. Amen. If somebody pisses me off while I'm driving, I'm going to praise God.
Oh,
amen.
God.
Right? Right? Because that's going to stop. God. That's going to eliminate that negative thinking.
You better praise God.
Amen.
I don't want you getting into it with nobody.
And with that, we'll close. Amen.